Impact Leaders, the podcast on impact leaders, influencers, and institutions supporting the companies that are solving the world's biggest challenges. And this is your host, JP Dahlman. Impact Leaders is brought to you by Fast Forward 2030 and Real Changers. Visit fastforward2030.com to learn how to include the global goals into your business models, and realchangers.com to find talent and careers with impact.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Impact Leaders. In today's episode of Impact Leaders, we have me, JP Dahlman, as your guest. This is a special episode in partnership with the Sustainability Matters Now podcast hosted by Daniel Hartz. I decided to make this one our next episode because it is extra special since we are celebrating 1 year since the launch of Impact Leaders. If I may say so myself, I think this is a great conversation, particularly around the content we cover. However, I must admit that I had a bit of a challenge the morning of the recording since I had to take one of my lovely daughters to hospital and therefore I did not have the best microphone with me that day. In any case, I still opted to use it and share it since there are many messages that I thought you would value. I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you for joining me, JP. It's really great to have you on the show. It's exciting to be doing a joint episode with you because you have your podcast, Impact Leaders. I'd love to hear more about that. So it's great to have a chance to expand our reach and be able to speak to both of our audiences at the same time.
Thank you, Daniel. I really appreciate that we are doing this as well. I think exactly that's the point. We're trying to create awareness and talking to the different audiences is going to be a positive thing for sure.
Absolutely. So to get started, I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about what you do. And I know you have quite a broad range of activities that you work on. So could you give us some rundown of what you do and your focus?
For sure. Well, it's maybe a range of activities, initiatives and projects, but they're all very synergetic in terms of, you know, trying to create awareness and kind of a personal impact on the world for what it's worth and for what I can achieve. But in general terms, I am a sustainable and impact investment advisor and advocate. And I also try to create awareness not only about sustainable impact investing, but also about the SDGs, so the Sustainable Development Goals created by the UN. So whenever I have the chance, I talk about different subjects and different ideas and what is happening in the world and what are the best practices and what people are doing. And more specifically, I work with financial institutions, investment funds, and companies that want to become more sustainable and impactful in what they're doing.
Great. Sounds like you stay busy. It's a lot of different things. But like you said, it is synergistic. They all work towards this sustainability and kind of having a positive impact on the world. How did you get started in this work? Because based on what I've seen, this isn't where you originally began.
Well, it's kind of an evolution. If I start from, let's say, where we are today, we have Impact Leaders Advisors and Partners, which is the organization that we use to advise investment funds and companies. But it has been something that has kind of evolved and to use a kind of a startup type of world, pivoted from different activities. So then I go back to a little bit of, you know, what people like sometimes to know, which is kind of my professional career. I come from the financial services industry, from the banking industry, more specifically from investment banking. I started kind of initially my career with a company called PricewaterhouseCoopers, PwC. And I moved into kind of larger banks, from working in different areas in investment banking and mergers and acquisitions, and then towards kind of the later years into like management roles in different organizations, or actually in one main one. And then from that, what happened is that as I was in some of the kind of investment committees or investment approval committees. So I was looking at some of the transactions that we were doing, some of the deals, for example, some £1 billion syndicate loans that we were working on. And we were giving these to some companies like, you know, tobacco companies. And at that point, I remember that there was a trigger, and this is many, many years ago now, that I was thinking, well, that just didn't sound kind of right and aligned to my values. And then as I started trying to understand how I could do personally more to help other people, I started working on different projects and mentoring some business people, some startup entrepreneurs. And then it kind of evolved. I like that word. I started doing some small investments in companies that were working in some related subjects or issues. And then, kind of long story short, at one point I came across kind of face-to-face with kind of impact companies. And at that point was when I realized that how much they were struggling to get funding. And that's when I realized that I could use my skills of having all the experience and the knowledge that I had in banking and financial institutions and try to understand what we could do to transform or to move into sustainability and impact. And that's what's happening right now. So the companies that are doing it still are, and I'll quote some numbers later in the podcast, but it's still about only 10% of to the total market. So we need to do more to try to accelerate this sustainability and sustainable investment piece.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So you were essentially an investment banker, and you realized that a lot of the big loans and investments that were being done were actually not aligned with your values. And from there, you realized that there are impact companies that are struggling to find funding, and so you wanted to help them out more.
So that's one part of it, but then that triggered the realization that there is, in terms of my impact and that's the scalability of things, we need to do more at the kind of higher level. Mm. And that's when I realized that, the best thing to do for me was to try to help the actual kind of institutions, to try to understand how they can move into it faster.
Got it. So with the term impact, because I think perhaps a new term or one that I personally haven't really come across until I started learning about what you do, can you define what exactly is impact and what impact companies do? And your podcast is called Impact Leader, so obviously there's this thought process behind the term impact. So what exactly is that?
Yes. So if I start with the kind of Impact Leaders, the name, and I would definitely recommend people, and I'll mention this many times, maybe through the podcast, to go to listen to the different episodes. And that's the interesting part of it. So it's Impact Leaders because, I'm looking at all those leaders that are trying to make a difference and they're trying to be impactful like myself in what they're doing. And then in terms of what the podcast focuses on is trying to exactly do this, trying to understand, okay, what does this mean? And I always ask the first question to everyone, what is impact investing? And even if you listen to all of the different episodes, you will realize that there are all sorts of different versions and appreciations of what it means by different people, right? And right. Then you have organizations that are trying to define it as well. But if I had to simplify it, so there is a wider context or a wider term, which is sustainable investing, and which people in the industry can recognize as a bit more, which include what people know as ESG, so environmental, social, and governance. And there are different kind of strategies around how to do that. And then what happens to be, kind of more specifically, is that impact investing is one of those strategies or areas that is within sustainable investing. And the importance of, if you look at it by definition, kind of seen as kind of targeted investments kind of aimed at solving social or environmental problems, including community investing, for example, where capital is specifically directed to traditionally underserved individuals or communities, as well as financing that is provided to businesses with a clear social and environmental purpose. So that's kind of how it would be defined. And if we make this, and we try to break that down a little bit, is trying to make sure that when you make an investment, let's say in a company, and we'll talk about profit, not profit, that there is a direct measurable, ideally measurable, but that's another point as well that can be discussed, impact into this the social side, also the people, mm-hmm. or the environment, so the planet.
Interesting. So does the word impact kind of mean that the companies are not necessarily big and they may be a bit more niche? Is that an important part of it?
And no, not necessarily. It may be the case, like in every industry, right? It may be the case that you have a large number of smaller companies,
yeah,
and then the big ones start kind of growing and consolidating, etc. But not necessarily. So it can be one or the other. The point is really around kind of what you're trying to achieve ultimately.
Got it. So it's all about really having a good cause, whether it's environmental, social, or there's the word governance.
Purpose and clarity. I think that's mm-hmm. that's key.
Gotcha. And so if we move to one of the episodes in your podcast, again, it's called Impact Leaders. You interviewed someone named John Elkington, who coined the term triple bottom line. I know that that's an important term in impact investing, but can you tell us what exactly that is and how it ties in with impact investing?
Yeah, I would actually, yeah, I think that the best person to do that would be John. Right. but by all means, actually, on the episode, which is I think number 17, I want to say, he talks about it a little bit. We talked a little bit about it. It's kind of a framework which includes this kind of social, economic, and environmental aspect. So that's the triple bottom line in terms of you look at that. At a kind of accounting, right? And so you have these kind of people, social, planet, environmental, and profit, financial aspect of it. But I think that the main point that I remember I took out from the conversation we had was that it is supposed to be about creating kind of greater business value and changing systems rather than just making it, for people to try to calculate, how these three parts work. So I think I want to leave it kind of high level so that people do go and see and study more about what it is. And then also I'll take advantage and say that John is kind of relaunching the triple bottom line concept in January, I think, next year. He did this event this year where he kind of recalled it or took it back. Kind of it's a little bit of a kind of a formal action that he took, not that he can actually take it because people are using it anyway, but he says this as well, but he just wants to kind of refresh and remind people of what it is. So just keep an eye for it, in January 2020, so that you can see what he's trying to do again.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. I did listen to that episode and I remember he was saying that basically it just needs to kind of be refreshed as a way to kind of remind people what it really is about.
Yeah, and I think the point that many other people are doing, and then there is a concept separately to this, which is mentioned around, which is this greenwashing concept, which is where people use concepts or they use, let's say on this case, a messaging around what they're doing as a business, saying that they are sustainable or green or impact funds or they have products, for people or for investors. But then really when you look down into the detail of, the companies where they're investing, they're not really, green or impactful. So that's the main point, I think, around this as well. So, if you're using triple bottom line, which is one of the ways to do it, to look into it, Are you using it the right way when you say that?
Makes sense. In terms of this triple bottom line concept, I know in one of your articles, which is called Impact Investing, Just a Trend or the Best Strategy to Help Save Our World, which was published in Forbes, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Forbes.com, yeah.
Yeah. It was a really interesting read because it, first of all, describes what impact investing is, and then you give your thoughts about kind of how it works and the benefits of it. And you say there's this common misconception that these companies have lower returns from an investing standpoint, but it's a misconception. So why is it not true?
Well, I think the point about returns, I think that it also seems that I published the article, I have spoken with so many kind of thought leaders and investment specialists, so that it can be really helpful because it really changes how you perceive or you actually how things work in reality.
Right.
But the point is that we had to think about, do we really care about continuing to perform and have the returns that we have been having over the years if we're not going to have, you know, a world to live in, you know, in 10 years' time? I think that's what is kind of really in my mind and in my heart now. And I know, you know, personally, and I can see as well from everyone's perspective, and there is this, what is called this fiduciary duty, you know, of investors or investment companies to do the best to return the best, you know, for their clients. But that's the challenge. That's the challenge. So, what, you know, if this is 2% less, but helping the world to, you know, survive this inverted commas crisis that we are living, you know, worth it. That trade-off, you know, worth it. That's, I think, what I want people, you know, that are listening to think about. And I know it's hard. I know it's very hard because you want to, and it's interesting, it's like people talk about maintaining and preserving wealth, but to preserve wealth, you don't need to do, you know, an extra 2%, you know, from 10 to 12 or, you know, whatever the return that you're trying to achieve.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think in terms of preserving wealth, you know, it's just like you said, if I preserve wealth and there is no world for me to live in, it doesn't matter if I had 10% or 12% instead of the 10%, because I'm living in a bunker trying to survive, which isn't, in which case, at that point, money probably doesn't even matter that much.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's one of the points. And you know, when I talk to some of the investment funds, you know, they are really trying to also look at these from a, you know, a real business perspective, which is at least to what is called protecting alpha, and trying to, you know, prevent, trying to look at the risks and what's going to happen coming forward or going forward, that, you know, so that they can adjust it, so that they can prevent, you know, losing money. That's another way to look at it. And obviously, sorry, I should say as well, we're having a lot of regulations coming in as well, and that's going to continue to increase. So that's another point to consider from that perspective. But again, all that said, so far, so in the past, we didn't have as much data to show, you know, if, let's say, kind of impact investing or ESG was investing or sustainable investing was kind of good enough. But now we do have a lot more kind of evidence of materiality. And then you can show that companies that are just looking at the asset level, the company level, companies that are more focused on sustainability tend to perform better than their peers. And that's the key, right? And then if you then focus your portfolio into these companies, you will show or tend to show that you are performing at least at kind of a market level, you know, against your benchmark. Right? When I interview the different people, it's not maybe that clear how all across my different interviews, but I've interviewed people from all the different areas of and levels of investment, from like personal investors that have their own funds to like mega multi-billion pound investment funds that are into impact investing, or focus, let's say, on social UK social bonds, so different asset classes and products, and all of them are showing that they are performing at the same, you know, market levels. So yeah, so going back to your question, really, but that's why it's not true really that you have to give up returns to be impactful.
Yeah, that's interesting. So actually, these companies can have their fiduciary duty of giving the best returns to their clients, and at the same time fund and invest in companies that are doing good work and supporting the environment or social causes, et cetera. That's really good to hear. It's interesting as well, because right now, you know, it's pretty much impossible to miss the climate strikes that have been happening all over the world. And it's really great to see that there is a big movement and, you know, a lot of people obviously support this. It's specifically about climate, but it goes beyond that, and it's about the environment in general. And I found a Financial Times article that I think you linked to, called, it's kind of a long name, it's called "The New Front for Green Revolution Rests on Warrior Accountants." And the subhead is, "Don't Dismiss Activist Bean Counters. Spreadsheets Make More Difference Than Placards." And basically the article is saying that financial companies are actually making a bigger impact than people going to the streets and making a lot of noise, essentially. I don't think they're discrediting the people who are going out and, you know, campaigning, and this movement certainly is bringing a lot of attention to the issues. But what they're saying is, on a actual fundamental level, financial companies are the ones who are making a real difference, kind of like tangible difference, so to speak. So what do you think of that argument?
So what I would say is that, you know, this is interesting as well. So the FT, interesting enough, they just launched a new section and area in that they cover all of these subjects, which I think is fantastic. So I recommend people definitely to look at that. And like you said, it's not about discrediting any of the activities that are happening. I think it's important because it really creates. So I look at, you know, society from all the different levels. I think that's the most important part to start. You know, we all have a part to play. We're all part of a system, and, you know, and it's a perfect system. It's in imperfection. And sometimes, you know, having people on the streets, you know, is the last straw that finally makes others aware of, you know, what is really happening. And it's a bit like, you know, it's the social pulse, right? So this is really what, you know, the masses are feeling. And this is what is, you know, what they are demonstrating for and against. So I definitely appreciate, you know, what people are doing. And I even have, you know, I have two daughters, young daughters, you know, one is a teenager and she wanted to go out, you know, in London and demonstrate as well. So it shows you that, you know, also the different ages, you know, how, you know, the young generations are caring a lot about what is happening. So
yeah,
I think it's very important. But at the same time, I think it's very important that, you know, people kind of learn and study about all the different things that are happening in the world, so that they can, you know, appreciate as well for how we can make, you know, the bigger differences. And I think what that article is trying to do is, you know, the reason why I realized at one point that I maybe would be better using all my skills and experiences in banking and the financial industry to try to, you know, work with the investment companies, you know, to try to make this difference. And it goes back to this. And maybe at this point I mentioned that there is a bit of a pull and push going on between, you know, pension funds and investment funds. And even this concept sometimes, and I talk about it a lot when I can, so that people remember that, you know, all of this is just a system, right? So, and it goes from the individuals, you know, we go, we work, we buy products. So it's all our habits. And the products are served by companies, right? We save money. We give it to our pension funds. Our pension funds hold most of the money, and then for us, and then they invest through investment companies and financial institutions. So when this article mentions this, is I think what's trying to say is that, you know, ultimately there's this cycle and circle, but, you know, the worry accountants.
Yeah.
So in terms of perhaps what it says on the article around the worry accountants is that, you know, they are using the royal we here as investors. We tend to have a bit more influence through engagement, which is kind of another of the sustainable activities that you can do, engagement with companies to try to influence their business models. And because you are investing in them, you tend to have a bit more influence than, let's say, a consumer of the product or the services, which is at the bottom of the chain. I think that perhaps that's kind of what the article is trying to say. And then one more thing I was going to mention is that, and perhaps relevant to these, in terms of, you know, how can investment companies have an influence and how the system works, is that there's a recent study by an analysis by Nordea in the Nordics, which kind of did a comparison to try to understand how much impact you have through changing your habits versus in kind of investing with your savings into impact. And the difference basically is 27 times, as they calculated. So I think they did a comparison in terms of CO2 savings and emissions, etc., and how you allocate, you know, your investments into sustainability. It's all, and we were speaking another day with you offline that, you know, it's very good that you change your habits. And I think that even in some cases for your own health is good, but ultimately if you have savings, and, you know, ideally most of us, you know, will have some, you know, in the form of a pension, if you are doing it with companies, with pension funds that are focusing on sustainability and that like giving mandates to sustainable investors and asset managers, you have potentially 27 times more impact. So again, reinforces this point that, you know, the people in the financial services, you know, have a great role to play.
That's unbelievable. 27 times more impact just by investing than perhaps going and buying organic food or food that doesn't have any plastic or whatever it is. That's helpful. But what that study is saying is that actually, if you just invest your money and keep all your other habits the same, you'll still make a much bigger impact.
Well, I still would say don't keep your habits the same, because, you know, we still have to travel less and try to do all these other things that are helpful. And again, I wouldn't dismiss that. But the power, the compound power of, you know, going the other way as well is very relevant.
Yeah. So do you think in that case that the people participating in the climate strikes could be doing anything else or something differently to be even more effective?
I mean, it could be a contentious subject, I thought, but, you know, the thing is, it is something also emotional. Yeah. And I think that, you know, by all means, you know, if something I learned through my life, you know, although I want to believe I'm still quite young, is that, you know, you have to let people, you know, express themselves. And I think I mentioned earlier, you know, this is also very important because it's kind of the social pulse of, you know, what people are really feeling and believing. So, you know, I personally appreciate them. You know, I value, you know, what, you know, people are doing. And I always talk about, you know, we all live in different bubbles, right, within this wonderful world that we live in. And sometimes these strikes, you know, kind of break the different bubbles and make people in other, yeah, in other, living other lives, you know, to realize what is happening. Mm.
That's very true.
And maybe at this point I mentioned, and this is very interesting. So I had the luck and the blessing to be at an event with Al Gore, the vice president, former vice president of the U.S.
Yeah.
This week. And I was thinking about it. So it was an incredible, again, presentation. He talked about his show, what was developing and what is happening now this year and during the last 10 and 20 years and more in terms of climate change and the effect that it's having. And even myself, that I'm kind of immersed into this and I'm learning, you know, I'm looking a lot at the investment side, but I'm not maybe seeing all every day what is happening in the real, aside from, let's say, you know, the biggest thing that's happening right now is the Amazon, you know, being on fire.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the one thing that caught, I think, everyone's eyes and attention. But the things that he showed were so shocking. But I realized I didn't even know about it. But then, you know, during that night and after that night, I was thinking, I think it was, I can't know exactly how many people, but let's say there were a couple of hundred people in this church, Emmanuel Center in central London in Westminster. But that's just a tiny amount of people that have the, inverted commas, privilege, you know, to be there with him, right?
Yeah.
And I talk about that as well in terms of privilege and access to information. Most people don't have that benefit, right? So most people have no idea. So unless you have, let's say, the climate strikes, then most people never find out that perhaps there's a problem, as stupid perhaps or as unreasonable as it sounds. And then I was going to say that all of these, you know, his documentaries and other documentaries now are out there, like Our Planet. David Attenborough is kind of promoting a lot now with the, but still, how many people, you know, really want to watch them or really watch them? Because they are hard to watch as well, right? And as we as humans don't want to experience sometimes, you know, bad feelings, right?
Yeah.
So it's a long answer to say I think that we all play a role and we all have to appreciate what is happening. And again, I stress, you know, educate ourselves and create awareness personally and then share that with others.
Yeah, I think the more I speak with other people and the more I kind of see what's going on around us and really trying to understand what the best way is to make a change, I think I keep coming back to this point of education. You're absolutely right. It really is just a case of knowing the benefits or kind of the different ways that you can be more environmentally conscious and what the negative impacts are of one's actions. Because if you're not aware of that, then it's really hard to make corrections and move into a different direction.
And one thing I was going to share, perhaps if it helps people, you know, because there is so much to think about, then it's a bit overwhelming, right? So let's say if you do, if you use the SDGs, so the Global Goals, Sustainable Development Goals from the United Nations, there was a lot of activity in the UN this week on that as well. If you just start by, let's say, looking at those and understanding from your values, you know, what you really care about, that sometimes may help you understand, okay, where do I want to focus on? What do I really want to, inverted commas, worry about?
Right.
So let's say, and I do promote one of the companies that I really like, which is called Thriving by Capital, because they have a process I went through and they really helped me understand kind of what I really care about. Because sometimes even during that process, you realize that you say that you care about something, but when you look deeper into your values, understanding what it means, and this framework of the SDGs, it helps you realize what is really important to you. And there are 17 kind of major goals, so that in case people don't know. And then in my case, for example, when I went through it, I realized that as much as I care about, I love the outdoors and I love the environment and et cetera. So for example, life underwater or for example, the trees or, you know, whatever way you want to look at it, kind of it wasn't as important to me as, let's say, education. So I realized that education is my top one. I promote partnership, which is number 17, and that's how I drive everything that I do. But when I look at a very kind of individual level, education, because I think education solves a lot of other problems. And then on the back of that, kind of well-being is another one that I really care about. And then kind of no poverty, which is number one, is another one I really care about. And then it makes it easier for me to understand when I am personally looking at, you know, what my personal strategies and what I'm doing, then to decide, you know, what are my priorities and, you know, where I can actually put my time or my money or, you know, talk or promote it.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Just taking some time to understand your values and what's important to you. I think it's more effective to find something that you're more interested than anything else or even passionate about and then just focus on that. We live in a world where there's people with many different interests. So if you just find something that you like, the other parts will be taken care of by other people who find those other things interesting. I'm curious to know, kind of going back to investing, question that I'm interested in, and it sounds like we've already covered this, but to answer it directly, do you think sustainability is sustainable? Meaning companies that are practicing sustainability, you know, can they do so for the long term, or is it not really a financially viable business model and it's more kind of they just do it because they have to or they think they need to?
Yes. I think there are different ways to answer this question, but the one thing I thought about is, you know, well, first of all, it has to be. So it's the only way, really, because unless, you know, we are sustainable, you know, I insist, you know, there will not be a world to live in.
Right.
There will no, you know, people won't have jobs. They will, you won't have a salary. You cannot, you know, pay for your, for what you need to consume. You won't have products, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of the drastic kind of answer to it. But then in terms of, you know, proving, kind of thinking about it from fundamentals, right? One-on-one, you know, finance one-on-one, whatever you want to call it. And some people quote it, kind of, it makes financial sense. So to be focused on sustainability. And that's the key message that, you know, some people don't understand. And then even if you are a company, because obviously some companies that will have to close because, you know, we cannot use those products anymore, for example, because they are doing damage to the world. And the one that people love talking about, and there's different ways to look at it, they say it will be fossil fuels. And we can see, you know, companies, some, you know, companies already closing because of, you know, the effects of either climate change or investors' preferences or, you know, different factors. So it's already happening that unless you're sustainably focused, you know, you are, again, inverted commas, doomed. And if you are sustainable, you are doing, you know, good or better than your peers. And if you're not sustainable, you're not going to be here for long, and we're not going to be here for long. So again, I hope that is not as such a negative kind of angle to it.
Yeah.
But at this point, again, I wanted to put, you know, because you mentioned that Fabrice focuses on the investment side. It's always, I like numbers again for context. And I quote a couple of numbers, which are from different reports, you know, this one from the GSIA, which quotes that there is, you know, let's say that there is a 300 trillion of investable, you know, assets in the market, right? And then I guess more, I don't know how many people know that, but that's kind of what this quote right now, of which right now we only have about 30 trillion, so about 10% that is into, you know, kind of sustainable investing, right? Including kind of this that I was telling you, which is kind of, again, I take advantage and mention, you know, some of the most recognized one is called negative or exclusionary screening, positive or best in class screening, there's Norman based screening, ESG integration, there's sustainable theme investing, there's engagement and impact investing, right? So those are kind of the 6-7 that are kind of part of the definition. By still only 10%. And by the way, impact investing is only about 3 trillion, so 1% of the total. So still there is a huge, huge room for improvement and for, let's say, making the market, you know, more focused on sustainability. And there's obviously, you know, huge, you know, room for companies to be created that are, you know, impact companies, and for some of the current companies to become more, you know, sustainable focused or evolve. Know, transform from, let's say, and there are real life examples again that sometimes it's good to promote, of companies that move from, let's say, being fossil fuel into, let's say, sustainable energy, you know, like wind farms. And that is possible. So I think I will encourage people every level to be looking at all of these.
Yeah. On one hand, it's a shame that there's only 10% of all investable assets that are being focused on sustainable companies. And yeah, and on the other hand, it's exciting, I think, for at least I find it very exciting to think that, you know, if I'm going to be investing my money, then there's so much room in terms of what we can invest into. And there's obviously a lot of work to be done. And I think there's a lot of opportunities for anyone who's interested in focusing on impact investing. There's a lot of opportunity there. And it's a really good career choice potentially for anyone interested.
For sure. And I should say, by the way, so the market grew, I think it's 34% in the last 2 years.
Oh, wow.
So that's the trend, right? So you see, and it's just going to keep going up. So don't be disillusioned with the 10%. You know, that's actually, it's really good and increasingly growing.
Yeah.
And we also have, like, you know, other trends happening, which is, you know, we have private equity companies, you know, launching impact funds. So this one quite well kind of known in the market called the Rise Fund, which is by TPG. And they, you know, launched one with a couple of billion pounds a few years back. They're doing another fund now with, I think, double the amount of billions of pounds that they're going to put into it. We have hedge funds now as well, you know, kind of increasingly moving into it. So it's just getting better and better, and it's growing.
Fantastic. That's really exciting. And for people who are interested in learning more about impact investing or sustainable investing, are there any books or websites? You've listed a couple of resources already. Is there anything that maybe for someone who might not be as familiar with the topic that you could recommend where people can get introduced and enter this world?
Yes. And one point I wanted to mention, in case we don't talk about it, but the important point is that you talk to your, in the UK, it's called your IFA, so your independent financial advisor. Mm-hmm. And when you talk to them, you make sure that they are telling you what to read. I think that's a good point, you know, because basically what some people are saying is that, you know, they're not providing as much advice to people, and they are a key kind of link in the chain, right? But by all means, you know, I would recommend people to listen to my podcast and to read, you know, some of the articles I publish in Forbes.com and LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. I put some links on Twitter as well, but normally this would be the three platforms where you find, you know, the information that I share, which is my own and many times is other people. And as I said, you know, maybe if you look at the podcast that I record, the interviews, there are different people at different levels, and they are some of the best in the UK, and now some of the best, you know, that we are reaching outside of the UK in the world. So that is amazing benefit of listening to thought leaders.
Yeah.
Because I believe that it really changes the way that you think. It's unbelievable. That said, by all means, you know, more specifically, the sense of sustainability is the, you know, something called the PRI, the Principle for Responsible Investing, and you can go to the website. There's a lot of information there. And then there are more specific, there's the FT section I mentioned about, the GSIA, which is another organization, which is a really good one. And then obviously the more specific ones on impact, there is one called, an organization called GIN, G-I-N, and then another one called TONIC. So for those that like the mix.
Yeah.
And then obviously you have, for example, Business Review always publishing some really interesting points as well, which I do share in some of the, I tend to put the links as well of some of the things that we come across as part of the notes of my podcast, but I also share them online. And then finally, I'm sure there's no other way that most people use it, and just by the number of views and likes that I see on YouTube, but on YouTube is amazing the amount of content that there is available, you know, from even from the PRI, even from like thought leaders like Ray Dalio or others, you know. And I would recommend as well that sometimes if you have a question, just go and type it, you know, after you watch, you know, cats doing funny things, which is the famous one, or other trending, you know, influencers. If you want something, you know, on your Saturday or your Sunday, I definitely recommend that you do that. And by all means, there are quite a few other potential, you know, podcasts and other ways to consume. I always tell people you have to find what the medium that is best suited for you, be it reading, be it listening, be it watching. And then I may as well promote, so obviously John Elkington, he's publishing a new book called Green Swans, which is a very good approach to how we can potentially save the world. There's Gary Krasinski, he has a couple of, a few really good books as well that he's published. I think Gary is episode 18, he's based in the US. And then, yeah, I can keep going on and on. And then by all means, you know, if there's any specific question, then people can always ask me.
And that is a great dovetail into my next question, which is you mentioned your podcast, your LinkedIn, your Twitter account. Where can people actually find you? Are there any websites we can go to? Where can people learn more about the work you're doing and reach out and ask any questions?
Yeah, the best way really, I think, is LinkedIn. If you just connect through LinkedIn, that would be a best approach, because you can see there all the different links to all the different organizations and companies that I work with, and which I didn't basically promote too much today, but by all means, you know, you can connect with me and look there, and then, you know, just reach out and ask me any questions. So if you are an investment fund or hedge fund or a pension fund, Impact Leaders Advisors and Partners is an organization that you can reach out to. If you are an individual or an impact company looking, you know, or an individual trying to change your career potentially into working with an impact company, you can go to realchangers.com, which is, you know, another one of the platforms that we have, which helps impact companies find purpose-driven talent. If you are looking to participate in some events or understand how you can build the SDGs into your business models, you can look at Fast Forward 2030. Fast Forward 2030.com, which is the organization, not for profit, that promotes these as well. So I think those will be the main ones.
Great. Lots of different resources. And we'll link to all of these in the show notes. So it'll all be there. And that's all the questions I have, JP. So thank you very much for your time. It was really interesting to hear about how investing in companies and working with impact leaders, which is, again, the title of your podcast, can really move the needle in terms of how quickly we as a society and as a species help save the world and reverse, hopefully, climate change. So thank you again for your time, and good luck with all your many ventures.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. And I think this is the best point to mention the name of your podcast, because, you know, what you just said is basically what you're doing. Sustainability matters today.
That's right.
That's it.
That's exactly right.
Goodbye, and God bless you.
Yeah, thank you.
This was Impact Leaders. Impact Leaders is brought to you by Fast Forward 2030 and Real Changers. Visit fastforward2030.com to learn how to include the global goals into your business models, and realchangers.com to find talent and careers with impact.